Jack Blood uncovers it, exposing the lies that our trusted government officials do not want us to know. And now, please welcome Jack Blood.
Exposing the lies that our trusted government officials, their controllers, and their mockingbird cronies do not want you to know about. Welcome to another live original edition of Deadline Live. It is the 11th day of January 2007. I'm Jack Blood, your narrator and radio gun reporting for the next 2 hours. We have several guests for you on the program today. Colonel Doug Rocky. The esteemed Colonel Doug Rocky, who worked with the Pentagon to protect our troops and citizens around the world from depleted uranium and got sick himself from that said depleted uranium, will join us on the program here at the halfway mark here through the first hour at 2:30 Central. John Connor will be starting a new program here on this very network this Sunday. We'll be joining us in the second hour, John Connor of the ResistanceManifesto.com. Second hour on the program today. We're going to dismantle the incredulous Butch speech last night. Of course, they have already sent the troops to we are allegedly debating here as a society, already sent them to Iraq. They're already on the ground. New defense shill Mr. Gates says that they're going to increase the military by 92,000. We have a lot of news to report to you today. I first want to start off bringing up my friend Alex Jones in the program. Last night on the RBN network, I heard something that was, I thought, really disturbing. It's very divisive. Here we are, you know, out trying to combat the New World Order. We're putting the pieces of the puzzle together. We're growing the movement exponentially around the world. And then we have people here in our own backyard just taking really, I think, unnecessary pot shots at those of us that are doing this work. And I got to say, I was horrified to hear some of this commentary. So I have Alex Jones with me from the Alex Jones Show. Alex, thanks for being on the show. If I were you, I wouldn't blame you for being a little upset over this. I think I'm making an understatement.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. What I'm upset by is the response of a couple local people I've known. That's why I've decided to do this. I mean, I'm not going to stop. The fraud will be exposed.
Well, maybe you better tell my listeners who didn't listen to your show today or aren't aware of what's going
on.
Let me just give them
some background, because I refuse to mention the name of the offender. Because my show is 100 times, and that's just on the web. We don't know the numbers. 10 times bigger during the show, around 100 times with all the re-airs, than this individual's biggest program. So I'm not about to send any of my precious listeners over to this, you know, a pathetic individual. So I want to be clear about that. This is just for those that know Veritas, who know the truth, who have been in Central Texas or have heard this individual's program and have heard all the stuff over the years. It's just too much. You know, I've gotten phone calls. You've gotten phone calls. We all have. You better shut up or you're going to get it. It's all veiled. Whatever. I've ignored that because I'm not thinking about this individual very often. I'm busy thinking about doing news reports, making films, doing work. That's why we have a lot of listeners here at the GCN Radio Network. But ever since this individual moved down here 7-8 years ago and set up shop, it's about seven, there's been problems, but I've ignored it. And then like 7 years ago, he told an incredible lie about me and said he's got the proof. He talked to the 2020 and he's getting a copy of the check and how I sold people out. Totally made up. Just whole cloth made up. Of course, it never came. Totally made up. Like a schmuck, 4 years later, I forgive the person and friendly until I see some things, some really bizarre things. And everybody knows about this, but they act like it's normal. See, I never told anybody because I know if I had something happen to me, that it's so outlandish that I'm not going to talk about it because people wouldn't believe it until I'm sitting there at a Denny's one night with a group of like 10 people. And I go, yeah, one time he did this to me. And they go, oh, that happened to me. That happened to me. I heard this happened to such and such. I didn't know it was like something they do. I was at this guy's house, and I'm sitting there doing a radio show with him. And all of a sudden, I look up and he's pointing a Walther PPK handgun at me, and I was kind of when I'm not paying attention, I'm kind of stupid. I was what's going on? I almost get hit in traffic all the time because I'm so unafraid. You know, just I'm kind of a dumb animal in a way. I'm like, what are you pointing at me for? And he had this maniacal look of like pleasure, like he's trying to extract horror, and I jumped up and I said, you better put that down, man. You got a problem. I'm not going to be around you anymore. And so I kind of just went away. Then he orchestrated this whole big thing. Oh, Genesis isn't going to exist anymore. Better come, get behind me. Wasn't true. Everybody remember that? And he did all these things. And I ignored that and tried to be neutral. Well, it's okay. We need more voices. And all this stuff went on over the years, and all these things happened. And then I heard from so many people who had been over to his house and done things with him. And then, Jack, you moved down here from up in Rhode Island, and then you were over at his home. And on record, you told me that there was drug use going on, right, Jack?
Yeah, that's correct. But, I mean, here's the problem. I don't want to get into a he said, she said
thing. No, the point is, this son of a
bitch. Yes, eyewitness.
Hold on.
You hold on, Alex, for one second.
Because
I want our listeners to understand that the people that are out pointing the finger and accusing us of all these things are actually guilty of the very things they accuse us of doing.
That's it. No, the point is, Jack, you've been around me when we're sitting there, drinking beer. And other people, because I don't care. Everybody does it in this town. People pull out a joint, outside at a restaurant and start smoking it. People walk down the street. But do I ever smoke it, Jack?
No, I've never seen you do it.
I don't like pot. I don't like drugs. I like caffeine and occasional Budweiser. The point is, this guy got up on the air and said that he hired a PI. That's made up, just like the 2020 thing. He just pulls this stuff out of his rear end. And you know what? I'm going to take him into court. I'm going to take his wife that owns it in there. She's going to get sued. Listen, I'm not playing. I'm going to sue you. And I'm going to take him in. I'm going to say, you said this. Now, here's all the people that knew you were talking about me, playing my music, saying the number one talk show I was, talking about me. You now are going to produce. You're going to produce this, and you're going to produce all your evidence. And I know it's not true. Okay? And then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring the people on air he's pointed guns at. I got one working in this office who's been there at the office when they're at the table, and he pulls a gun out at a board meeting to intimidate people up there. This guy should be run out of here. I am a pathetic worm that I didn't do this earlier. This is
we try to ignore all of this. We try to go on and do our work, and at some point this has to come to a head so that healing can occur.
Well, by the way, that coward's voice was shaking yesterday when he was doing it, thinking he'd intimidate me, bluffing me. You hear me, boy? My voice isn't bluffing. You think I'm afraid of some pencil-neck white beater? You think I'm afraid of you, who gets up on the air and calls Jack Blood's son a bastard? You bastard? Huh? You think I'm afraid of you? You're a punk. You're nothing. I have 100 times the listeners you do. You're getting out of my town, and you're not sucking off me anymore. When you blew the Michigan militia, they finally figured out who you were and ran you out. I should have listened to people a long time ago.
Well, I mean, here's the shame.
He declared war on me, and let me tell you, his little pimps. Let me tell you why I'm going public. The main reason was these local pimps, there's a couple of them, sitting there saying, I'm the bad guy. That's it. I'm going to have judgments. I'm going to have everything. I'm going to have it all. I'm going to have my name. I'm sorry, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, here's the shame of it, is that the people in Austin, Texas, and now, people around the world being caught up in the middle of this.
Doesn't matter. That's why I've never done it, but I'm selfish. You know what? People want to sit here like a cancer in my town where I live with my friends, and want to sit here and do this and tell lies. I mean, folks, premeditated lying. Okay? Lying about me. Making stuff up. I am mad.
Well, look, Alex, I've watched what you've done. I saw what you did on Ground Zero at the six-year anniversary, which was miraculous, along with the people at Loose Change and all those good people that showed out up there. Look, I mean, that's what you do. I don't think you have anything to be, obviously, ashamed of. I mean, you have done an amazing job growing the movement. And I'll tell this to all our listeners, and I've said it many times in the past. I woke up because I found Alex Jones in the Genesis Communications Network,
well,
and I'm sure there are millions of people out there, Alex, that would say the same thing.
Exactly. Well, I just want to finish up on the other side.
That's fine.
And I want everybody to know, anybody that traffics with him is my enemy. That guy is a scoundrel.
I want to bury the hatchet. Maybe we'll have to bury it in someone's head. But we'll be right back after this, folks. Stay tuned. Deadline Live.
0267.
And now, back to Deadline Live with your narrator, Jack Blood.
Meet the old boss, same as the old boss. We'll get to that here in just a minute. And I apologize, folks, for, in a way, kind of airing our dirty laundry. But Alex asked me to come on the show, and I got his back, okay? No matter what happens. Alex, I've told you I'll take a bullet for you, man. And You've done so much for me and my listeners. I mean, this is the least we can do. So if I can give you a little bit of airtime here to lay this thing out and get the ball rolling, then it's my honor to do this.
Well, Jack, I mean, I'm the king, and I remember telling you years ago, I do not attack other people, do I?
Never.
Never. But when there's this cancer...
And let's be clear, you are attacked constantly and persistently, as am I, on almost a daily basis. I mean, we could turn this show into a constant rebuttal of all the attacks.
Well, I mean, you know, this same guy has done nothing but to try to destroy Genesis, which is better and bigger than ever. And just last month, the owner of Genesis had to call him up and go, you need to quit calling advertisers and calling everybody and saying, we're going under. That's not true, man. That's bad business practices. I want all the listeners to understand, this is a person trying to destroy a Patriot network for his own greediness. Okay, so I'm ignoring all that and all his stuff behind the scenes and all the things he does and then acting like using my name on air and, you know, all these people we wake up going and, you know, contributing to the carpetbagger. And I have to put up with all of this. And then, you know, I'm just on air talking about, hey, you know, folks, I'm never asked for donations because it's embarrassing how other people do. And then he takes that as it's some personal thing to himself and goes on air and tells a total lie. I mean, and knowing it, and that's the thing, is that he is just always the same, and all the stuff we know. I mean, it's like, I didn't know he had a fetish to pull guns on people. I mean, you're just sitting there, all of a sudden he's pointing one at you. He's into that. Man, this is everything I hate. He's a wannabe bully. And I just want that bully to know, you know, that you know, literally, I don't want to go out my yard and stomp on dog crap. But basically, this is already on my shoes. I've got to dig it off my shoes just because I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't stand having my flank here in Central Texas knowing, I mean, I'm guilty every day I wake people up, okay? Because I know that they wake up and then they want to come interface with somebody, and I'm not going to sit there and work them on the telephone and work money out of them, and because that's not what I'm after. I'm after info. I'm trying to do something pure here. You know, I know you are too, Jack. Half the time you're broke because you don't even want to call up and get advertisers. And, you know, I'm trying to do something here, and I've got to watch this embarrassment in my name. Look, the really one of the camel straws was I was at the local Access TV station this weekend, and two people walk up, and they go, yeah, I like listening to you on RBN. Why does your boss talk bad about you? And I go, that's not my boss. I'm not on that. You understand they act like that. They imply that. They do all these little slick little tricks, okay, because it's on the same local stations, and the stations won't make it clear. And I do not do that. I mean, my God, I just cannot stand it. This is Genesis Communications Radio Network. I'm from Texas. I don't care where you're from. As long as you're fighting the New World Order, I live here. Okay? And it is incredible. It is incredible to have somebody pulling out every dirty trick in the book, and then you got one of the guys that's involved with the micro sending me an email this morning. You know, I'm the bad man. That's it, man. That's it. I am just taking the gloves completely off, and that's it, man. Last time I took my gloves off once and got a judgment on somebody.
Yeah.
I took them off another time and got a judgment. I took my gloves off again, and we lost in court, but the deposition brought up stuff, and the person's in the pen. That's it, man. And I wasn't one-tenth as mad those other times, okay? One time a son of a bitch, when my sister was still in high school, said where she was at on Access TV and to go get her. I sued him, and I won. Well, you got me a lot madder, man, getting on air, just lying about me.
I just want my listeners to beware of people out there saying they're going to save the Patriot movement. They act as the Patriot police themselves. They do things that we wouldn't even want the CIA to do to us.
Yeah, do I ever Patriot police, Jack? No. I say, don't follow me. Go out and just have a philosophy of liberty.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine how this guy lied and said, I'll have 200 affiliates in 1 year or I'll quit. Or I've got this guy, you know, who's going to give me $25 million to start this big thing. It's all just a bunch of grifting going on. And I'm done with it, man.
Well, like I said, I'm sorry that we have to put our listeners through this. I know you are as well. But, I mean, this has to come to a head at some point, and we might as well just get it over with, Alex.
Hey, listen. There are going to be a bunch of weak-minded people who go, well, is it true? When you just said you've been in events when he's doing the stuff he accuses me of, I am Mr. Straight-Lace, as everyone who knows me knows. It's a joke. He accuses me of this. I've got a PI, and I know who his drug dealer is, but other people called and said he sounded like he said I was a drug dealer. Mm. Said it real slick, too. It's just sick wordsmithing stuff. And I'm going to say, hey, who is it? Hey, tell me. Come on. I want to hear it right now. You're not going to, and I'm going to sue you.
I don't have nothing.
Yeah, but your wife owns that network, and she's just as much as involved, and she's just as culpable. And I'll sue the employees up there, too. I'm not playing games. I want you to know that. I'm coming for you. You are going to, and you pull out your the stuff we heard about in Michigan. Go ahead and. I mean, if you think the feds were to go after me before, let's see them try now. There's a whole element of that too. And if the scum around, you know, some of the scum can't recognize it, that's fine. Okay, that whole thing is a cancer. You've declared war on my name. You've lied about me, and it's over. It's over for you. All of it. We're going to have the people on air you pointed guns at. We're going to have the people on air you've used drugs with. My God, we're on an air with a talk show host right now that worked at your network and saw you smoking con, bud, boy. And we know there was a lot more getting delivered that night. So it's over for you, you son of a bitch. You little bully. I'm not some little woman you can jerk around. Man, I am so pissed off.
All right, Alex, we're about to have Doug Rocky on. I don't know if you want to provide a segue for us here.
No, that's it. I'm going on vacation. I plan to go visit some family here in the state. And when I come back, it just, so what? Making a film has to wait. It all has to wait until I'm done.
Well, that's the real problem with this, isn't it?
Yep,
and
so
that's
what
I think.
So
that's what I think my listeners are going to be upset about. I mean, look.
I'm not taking the high road anymore, man. I've taken enough from this guy. Folks, if I tried to tell you everything he's done to people and done to me, you know, I'm a coward, man. I haven't done the right thing. I'll just tell you that right now. I remember, my God, when my wife was just my girlfriend, this son of a bitch bowed up to her out of the blue. He bowed up to Mike Hansen. It's just what he does, man. I tell you what, that's it, man. That's it. I should have done stuff a long time ago. And now the cage is open. Release the Kraken. You're going to get your desserts. Guaranteed. I've been so busy, too. I wish I'd have kept all those voicemail messages. I know they got one saved up at the network from years ago. And, you know, just the messages I've gotten. I'm just like, God, man. 3 a.m. messages for no reason. And I just take the high road, 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 taking it and taking it and taking it and taking it. And then you get on the air and you put something out that could get my ass SWAT teamed, you bastard. You sit there and make stuff up when I would never use the stuff this government produces. Just unbelievable. You liar. You produce your PI and you produce the evidence of it because you can't. Just like you couldn't when you made up that crap about the Gray family. That's it. I'm going to sue you for that, too. Because the story's still in the news.
Alex Jones, folks. The Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com. We're with you, Alex. All right, man?
Thank you, Jack. I'll see you about. You're filling in for me next week.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be doing the Alex Jones Show next week while Alex takes a much.
Live.com today.
Thank you for joining us on the program today, folks. Deadline Live, Jack Blood. This is the Genesis Communications Radio Network. Sorry to drag you all through the mud like that. But, I mean, you know, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, and we're going to have to move on. That's the moral to the story here. We've got a lot of news to report today. Colonel Doug Rocky is with us. John Connor joining us in the second hour of our broadcast today. A great activist, great American, John Connor. Doug Rockey's bio, his CV, is so extensive that it would take me so long to read that doing a proper introduction would really mean just introducing my guest. Most people know Colonel Doug Rockey. He worked with the Pentagon to outline the dangers of depleted uranium, how to handle it, how to work with it, or else suffer the consequences, of course, as usual, as per diem, the... They don't listen. They don't listen to experts like Doug Rockey. Well, I have him on the show today because we pulled up a news story yesterday. Uranium killing Italian troops, and they're coming out now to discuss the problem with depleted uranium and fighting in a war zone with depleted uranium, which isn't getting better. It's getting worse. And, of course, George W. Bush didn't mention that in his speech last night as he's sending 90-some thousand more troops eventually to have to deal with this nuclear material. Colonel Doug Rockey, thank you for joining us here on short notice on the program today. This is a good revelation. People in Italy now talking about the dangers of DU.
Yes, it is, but it's nothing new. I mean, several years ago, myself and thanks for the promotion, by the way. I retired as a major, not
okay.
as a colonel.
All right.
Anyhow, but Colonel Asa Drakovich and myself and Sergeant First Class Carol Pico did go over to Italy several years ago to discuss this. We had a major program, and right then, Dr. Drakovich, Colonel Drakovich, U.S. Army retired Colonel Dr. Drakovich, we did the medical test, and we knew they were sick at that time. And we've had all those reports for a long time. What had happened is the Italian troops, Ivy, went into the Balkans. They were exposed. They were never given any of the train. They were never given any of the equipment. None of the mess was cleaned up. Even though Pekka Haavisto, who was in charge of the United Nations Environmental Program, had gone on site and found all the contamination. And back on March 30th of 2003, he sent me a letter stating very clearly that he ordered the Department of Defense to clean up the mess. And the U.S. Department of Defense and NATO, and they simply refused to do so.
I mean, isn't the worst part, and we've talked about this extensively as you've been a guest on this program many times, Doug. I mean, isn't the worst part about this is that our troops don't know what they're getting into. They're not warned that this could be a life-risking adventure going into these war zones with depleted uranium, that they could bring this back and contaminate their family or their loved ones back home. Isn't that the worst part about all of this? They don't even have a choice in the matter?
That's absolutely correct. Even though there's numerous orders going back many, many years, from the Department of Defense all the way up to Deputy Secretary and the, you know, everybody involved, all the generals, mandating thorough environmental training, you know, how to clean up the environmental mess, how to protect yourself. It simply is not happening. The U.S. Army has in their Common Task Training Manual a very specific task on response to depleted uranium, other low-level radioactive hazards. It's not taught.
Give us some perspective here. The U.S. says it fired around 40,000 depleted uranium rounds during the Bosnian and Kosovo conflicts. What does that really mean, 40,000 depleted uranium rounds?
Well, let's convert this into actual tonnage, okay? In 1994 and 95, the United States went into Balkans for the first time, and we used around 30 to 35 tons of solid radioactive materials as components of munitions. These are the DU munitions. So that was back in 1999. It was real interesting, the 99-2000 excursion, because on April 16th of 1999, myself, Major Denise Nichols, Dr. Rosalie Bertel, we got called up to the White House, you know, with George Bush, or Bill Clinton's staff at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we tried to do is stop the use of uranium munitions in the Balkans. The senior Department of Defense officials, I still got all the emails and the correspondence, said they would not use uranium munitions in the Balkans. And even while they lied to us, while we were up there with Senator Warren Rudman, Admiral Elmo Zumwalt, Colonel Mike Nalen, they were using them. They were just absolutely using them. And the funny thing is, at the end of the meeting, Colonel Eric Daxon, who's the head at that time the head guy with the for uranium weapons in the U.S. military, point blank said they didn't care and they weren't responsible, and whatever happened to the adverse health and environmental effects was not their not their concern.
Well, they'll consider it, I guess, collateral damage, which, what is the shelf life for these depleted uranium rounds?
Well, you know, I mean, each round has a half-life of 4.5 billion years, and it takes about 10 half-lives. That's just for the radioactive contamination. As far as the chemical toxicity and the particulate irritation, it's for eternity. All of this is for eternity. And so that's the reason why the United States Army, United States Department of Defense, and actually fully NATO requirements are that if anybody's exposed, they absolutely must be given the medical testing within 24 hours of exposure, and provided prompt and effective medical care.
Which is but not happening, of course.
It's never happened.
Yeah, never
United States Department of Veteran Affairs acknowledged a couple months ago that in the last 14 years they've only given care to, you know, testing to 557 people. And all of us, including myself and everybody that calls here, are continuously sick and getting worse. The new guys are sick and dying.
Well, let's put this back into perspective. 40,000 depleted uranium rounds during the Bosnia-Kosovo conflicts, which were certainly much smaller than the conflicts we see now in Afghanistan and Iraq. And then you have Italians here. They say 50 veterans have died. Another 200 are seriously ill. They only had 1,000 or 2,000 people, I believe, on the ground as a kind of a token effort to support the West. The coalition of the killing, as I like to call them, in Iraq and in Afghanistan. So, I mean, let's put this into perspective. How many depleted uranium rounds have gone off in Afghanistan and Iraq, and how many more people will die and be seriously ill from this if we're seeing that a small contingent of Italians are already suffering these major casualties? I mean, what can we expect here for the United States?
Well, it is already catastrophic. Let's go back and look at the absolute casualty data for Gulf War One. Okay, and what I'm actually doing is pulling up the United States Department of Veteran Affairs Gulf War Veterans Information System report for August of 2006. This is the most current or recent report. We're still waiting for a new one to come out any time, which would be very good. But the crazy thing about this whole thing is that when we look at the casualty data for all of this time, at the completion of the ground war and everything during 1991, we just had a handful of casualties. Okay, we had a handful of deaths, less than 500 deaths and less than 1,000 casualties. And what we have now, 15 years after the fact, okay, this is 15 years after the fact, out of the 696,842 individuals that served in the Persian Gulf during Gulf War One, that's April, May of 1990 through the fall of 1991. As of 696,842 that served, only 626,106 are still alive.
And that's, again, that's just what we know, Dr. Rocky, because we have no idea how extensive this could actually be and how big the cover-up is. We only know that this could be exponentially worse with people actually living on the ground. And what people need to understand here, they shoot off these depleted uranium rounds with tips and bullets and shells, and it leaves a footprint of chemically poisonous and radioactive dust. Now, again, using the number of Kosovo and Bosnia, 40,000. I mean, we have to look at the rounds gone off here in the Middle East in this recent four-year, three-year conflict as in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, what we have from Gulf War One is, you know, we've got 271,000, over 271,000 of the individuals that served have applied for a permanent disability, and we know for Gulf War II alone.
Hold on, well, let's carry over into the next segment. Major, Dr. Major Doug Rocky, talking about depleted
Leonard
Cohen, yeah, everybody knows. I don't think many people care, and I don't know how much people know. And this depleted uranium issue is, you know, it's a scientific issue, and like a lot of science, it's refuted on a number of sides of the issue. Well, there is no refuting the dire consequences of using depleted uranium, and Dr. Doug Rocky has worked with the Pentagon in order to try to protect our troops. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be here doing, right? Supporting our troops. I don't know of anybody who really supports the troops any more than Dr. Doug Rocky. Dr. Rocky, you were crunching the numbers for us a little bit here in the last segment, and we ran out of time, so I want to let you finish up with that, and then I have a couple more questions here.
Okay, let's crunch some of the numbers. What we know from Gulf War II, okay, and I'm going to go to the Army Times casualty report that just, you know, for this week. We know that the number that have been killed in action, direct enemy engagement, is well over 3,000. When we combine the two for both Afghanistan and Iraq, it's well over 3,600.
Right.
As we know right now. We also know that the numbers that have been wounded in an action, those have, you know, again, shot, blown up, whatever you want to have, but still survive, that's about 25,000. Okay? So we're looking at the killed in action of about 3,500, those in wounded action about 25,000. And then the other category we have for casualties is called DNBI, disease and non-battle injury. And the United States Department of Veteran Affairs put together the most recent report, which was released Thanksgiving. And as of Thanksgiving week, the number was 205,097. And so we're looking at huge casualty numbers. And when we look at the...
And these are the numbers, of course, that aren't reported within the establishment media.
Well, they are not going to be. Dr. Michael Kilpatrick, Deputy Secretary of Defense for Deployment Medicine, and Dr. Mark Brown, who's in charge of this environmental services at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, will never allow these numbers out.
Well, you're talking about, you know, we're just now getting the numbers in from the first Gulf War. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we're looking at, you know, we're way over a quarter of a million there, and we're well over 12,000 dead now.
Yeah, wow.
So these are the hardcore numbers, and these are their own reports, but again, they're reports that they're accessible if you know where to go look, but they're definitely not going to talk about them. So when we look at all this stuff, we have direct ways. We know what happened with exposures with uranium munitions. We know what happens with exposure with pesticides and nerve agents. We know what happens from the immunizations. That's a given.
Yep.
There's no question about it. One of the most interesting things with the Department of Defense and the U.S. military and the Army today, again, is they continuously deny all this stuff and say that we need more research. But what they don't tell the soldier, they don't tell the general public, is we all did all of that. And that's the reason that General Eric Shinseki signed the Army regulation mandating prompt and effective thorough environmental remediation of all radiological, chemical, and particulate contamination, and thorough and prompt effective medical care. And the same reason that Surgeon General for the U.S. Army, again, and this is about the 10th time it's been ordered, General Peak ordered prompt and effective medical care for all casualties. All that's in place, but it's not happening. It's not occurring to this day. So we're seeing thorough contamination. I mean, the United Nations has called and ordered and directed the U.S. and NATO to clean up all the contamination in the Balkans. They have simply refused to do so.
But you can't clean it up. I mean, we've talked about this on the program in the past.
You can't. That's correct. And that's the reason after we did all the research and we conducted the research for the U.S. Army and wrote the regulations and procedures with testing at the Nevada test site in Mercury, Nevada, that we told them you could never use it again. And they just thoroughly disregarded all of us that are their experts, those of us that did the work for them, because it was so simple.
Let me ask you this, and I don't think I've ever asked you this question. I have talked about it on the air in the past. I did an event with Scott Ritter, former UNSCOM weapons inspector, who, by the way, told us there wouldn't be any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Scott and I both knew that because, you know, during Gulf War I, Scott and I were the two Army intelligence officers that briefed everybody on that.
And that's how we knew, way ahead of the war, that this was going to happen, and announced it on our little radio show. At the time, we were on a 50,000-watt station up in Rhode Island. But I did this event with Scott Ritter, and I asked him about depleted uranium, Doug, and I was really surprised and shocked by his answer, as were the 500 or so people that were in attendance at this event. And he said, look, this is war, and we're going to use whatever we can to defeat the enemy, and this is why we need to be very careful when we get into a war, because this is the, no pun intended, the fallout to going and having these wars.
That's correct. Madeleine Albright, who was the Secretary of State for Bill Clinton back in 92 or 93, she made a direct statement when we were involved in all this stuff and trying to get the cleanup procedures in place. It was real neat. Back in late fall of 92, early 93, General Greenberg, it came on down. Madeleine Albright ordered General Sullivan, who ordered General Greenberg, who ordered us at the U.S. Army Construction Energy Research Lab to develop all the cleanup procedures. So we wrote the first no-bid contract for Halliburton back then. And
there was the writing on the wall, huh, Doug?
Yeah, it was so funny. I still got that document. It was really crazy. But Madeleine Albright said that, all this is collateral damage, and it's totally irrelevant, and it's acceptable to us when we want to achieve our strategic...
No, she said it was acceptable to kill a million people through the sanctions.
Correct. She didn't care.
And let's remember, little babies and four-year-olds and born fetuses aren't with Al-Qaeda, folks.
They don't have... Well, Al-Qaeda's a non-player, never was. You have to understand
that. My listeners know what I mean by that.
Correct.
Because this is an ideology where we're asking hundreds, if not thousands, of generations to make a sacrifice for this alleged war on terror, Doug.
It doesn't exist. But the thing is, when we use uranium munitions, and we have to understand, the uranium munitions that are used today, first off, let's understand what they are. We have the kinetic energy penetrators. These are gigantic rods of uranium. The Abrams tank fires one rod of uranium. That's approximately 3/4 inch in diameter, almost 18 inches long. Every single rod is over 10 pounds of solid uranium. The A-10 fires a rod that is a giant cigar, 30 millimeter. Every single rod is over 3/4 pound of solid uranium. And it fires at a rate of 4,000 rounds per minute. That's 1.5 tons of uranium on target per minute.
I hope people just heard what you said. I mean, I'm visualizing it in my head right now, solid rod of uranium being shot and laid to rest on the ground for, billions of years. I hope people really understand what you just said.
Maybe they don't. Then you have the 25 millimeter, which is like a cigar, and those fired at incredible rates out of the Bradley Fighting Vehicle and Marine Corps lab. Then we have the 50 cal machine gun, and Barrett makes a 50 cal sniper rifle down in Tennessee. You go to his website, he brags about how well the uranium round works in his rifle. As a selling point to the U.S. military and other military. I mean, it's incredibly good. I mean, we had an Abrams tank that was taken out by a Marine Corps friendly fire with a 50 cal round right at the beginning of Gulf War II. And, we had to do the investigation and recommend cleanup, but that's part of the life.
I mean, going back to what Scott Ritter said, I try to put myself in the place of the troops that are on the ground in these hostile areas in Iraq. I've been constantly. I watch too much cable TV news. I don't know how to pronounce the name of the state. Iraq. But, and I put myself in their shoes and I go, well, hey, man, if it's up to me to live and die, I want to go home. I'm an 18-year-old. I'm a 21-year-old kid. I want to go home. And if it's between, shooting a round of depleted uranium and saving my ass, sorry for the language, folks, I mean, I don't know what I would do.
Well, the problem is when you shoot it, you get contaminated, and if you don't have equipment, you get things. And the other thing, too, is we've absolutely verified, and I did this for the U.S. Army, we verified that the contamination was brought back to the States and transferred, not only on equipment, but I was up in the airport.
Well, hold on. So what you're saying is that while I'm trying to save my life, I'm literally committing suicide using these munitions.
Well, not necessarily going to kill yourself, but you're still going to make yourself sick. And we had an instance. I was up in the airport in Detroit. A soldier came back from Iraq. He had the contamination all over his clothes, literally going through the airport and then going on home. And both his wife and him were absolutely exposed. They thoroughly confirmed that. They confirmed that they were exposed. They conceived a child that by now the child's dead because he was going in there with final days at that time. This is several months ago. He came back from Iraq on emergency leave for a young child that was dying of leukemia. And absolutely, both the wife and him were exposed, absolutely thoroughly confirmed.
They're perfectly content with knowing that the death of their child is collateral damage.
Yeah, it's
just a sacrifice that we have to make to fight this phony war on terror. Doug, will you stay with me for one more segment? I have to ask you about testing. I have to ask you about the cover-up involved in all of this and how we go forward from here. Obviously, we're going to probably be looking at a lot of lawsuits and some political damage as well when this finally all unfolds, and it will unfold. Why we're talking about it today is to try to save people now before the truth comes out. That's what we often do here on the program. Major Dr. Doug Rocky will join us at least for one more segment on the other side of this break, and then we'll go right to John Connor, the Resistance Manifesto, who'll be starting his new show here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network this Sunday. You're listening to Deadline Live. I'm Jack Blood. Stay tuned, folks. 7, tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Hard-hitting news. Alternative talk radio. Get ready, America, for Deadline Live with your host, Jack Blood. Deadline Live is a daily wrap-up for those too busy in the daily grind to discern and dissect the news. While the so-called mainstream media buries the truth, Jack Ludd uncovers it, exposing the lies that our trusted government officials do not want us to know. And now, please welcome Jack Ludd.
We are locked and loaded. Second hour of Deadline Live coming your way this 11th day of January 2007. I'm Jack Ludd, your narrator and radio gun, reporting for the next hour. We are on the air all around this country and about 70 countries around the world. 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on the one and only Genesis Communications Radio Network. We publish jackbludd.com and uncoverthenews.com. Great headlines today. If you don't go to uncoverthenews.com on a regular basis, I think you're really missing out. I think we're doing a great job over there. And Kristen, thank you so much for the sacrifice you've given us and your efforts to volunteer to give us a good dial-up site that everybody can go to. It's uncoverthenews.com. We currently have a bumper sticker contest applied to uncoverthenews.com. We'll tell you about that before we get done here in this hour. Major Doug Rocky is with us. Dr. Doug Rocky, he worked with the Pentagon in order to protect our troops, to write the programs out, to clean up any areas using depleted uranium. Of course, he recommended we don't use it in the first place, but this is how he knows intimately about depleted uranium. Not only that, Major Rocky himself is sick with depleted uranium out doing these tests and trying to analyze exactly where we stand with depleted uranium. Dr. Rocky, thank you again for joining us on the program today. How are you doing? I know you've been suffering with this illness yourself.
Well, it's been pretty rough in the last few days. I was working with the VA rep today trying to update my disability, and I'm sitting here and the rash is bad on me, and he's back. It's also exposed, and the rash was bad on him. And also his wife has got the rash, and she's in bad shape, too. So it's devastating families. The medical directives, let's go look at those. The United States Department of Defense, the United States Army Surgeon General, and also NATO, and that includes, you know, the British, Canadians, Australians, all of them, already mandate thorough, prompt, and effective medical care for uranium munitions exposure. That has been in existence since before Gulf War I. I issued the directive as the theater health physicist in March of 1991. It was followed up by a theater medical commander's order in June of 91. It's been reissued many, many times, but it's thoroughly disregarded. The most recent one is from 2004. And in there, the Surgeon General for the U.S. Army, General Peake, absolutely stated that DE medical care would be given. And it's thoroughly disregarded.
Now, is that General Peake or General McPeake?
It's General Peake.
Okay.
P-E-A-K-E. And, I mean, you can go and pick up all these orders. You can pick up the regulations and the technical procedures on the traprockpeace.org website. They're all there.
Give that website out again for...
It's www.traprock, traprockpeace.org. And that's a Quaker. That's Quakers.
And they've done a great job working with you and others to expose this. I mean, when we're talking about treatments, we first have to talk about tests. Now, I have a report here. The BBC has been really working hard to cover this, and thank God they've been doing something. Malcolm Hooper, who I'm sure you're familiar with, an emeritus professor at the Medicinal Chemistry on the British government's DU Oversight Board. I mean, that says enough right there, doesn't it, Dr. Rocky? They have a DU Oversight Board. You can tell us if we do or not. But talking about testing for high levels of uranium in veterans' urine says not necessarily, that will not necessarily expose DU. Of course, these tests have been skewed using particular, quote-unquote, subjects and not regular military volunteers who might feel they're sick with this particular disease.
That's correct, but the other thing, too, we have to remember, the uranium urinalysis procedure, the urine must be collected within 24 hours of the initial exposure. Once you get 30 days out, you're less than 1/1,000th is mobile in the urine. Now, the other thing, too, we have to understand, there's only a small fraction of the uranium in the contamination you're exposed to that's soluble that will then be passed through the
urine. That's right. That's
and
an excellent point. And what we're talking about here are fine particles that get deep into the lungs and stay there forever, and that's hard to test for unless you actually go in and do a biopsy.
Yeah, and you also have it settling on the eye, for example. I mean, that's one of the reasons I had, you know, finally they had to repair my eye because all the cataract, the damage to the eye damage, cataract from alpha and beta radiation just destroyed the left my left eye.
Mm.
But, yeah, so it goes on and on and on.
And we know there's a cover-up going on. Dr. Rocky, where are we at this point? We see now the Italians coming out. Obviously, the British are coming out. They have, as I mentioned earlier, a depleted uranium board within their military apparatus. I mean, where are we here in America on this right now today?
The U.S. Department of Defense under Dr. Michael Kilpatrick simply refuses to provide the prompt and effective medical care required by U.S. Army and Department of Defense guidelines and regulations for all exposed U.S. casualties. They simply refuse to complete the environmental cleanup and remediation as possible as required by their own U.S. Army Regulation 700-48. They simply refuse to return phone calls. Continuous requests for compliance and nothing happens. And this is all the way up through the White House. I mean, we've worked with multiple administrations. We worked extensively with the Clinton administration. We worked extensively with the Bush administration. And Congress and the Senate and the House, and they just, nobody does anything. We have to understand. The United States made a choice to enter into all these wars without justification. They deliberately decide to use weapons of mass destruction, radioactive munitions, and knowing perfectly well thorough health and adverse health and environmental effects would occur, and now they have made the conscious choice to thoroughly disregard those effects. And then we gave it to to Israel to use in Lebanon. Thoroughly confirmed. I mean, it's just
That's the absolute fact, and we've been attacking Somalia. I mean, I guess we might as well figure that they're there. And let's remind people that they're actually using this in testing grounds all over the United States, and this stuff is everywhere.
I had a phone call the last few days from individuals that live in the vicinity where the manufacturing plants are, and they're very sick with all the same medical problems. And, again, the medical care is required, but it's thoroughly just totally disregarded and denied.
Take a stab on the death toll from these recent batch of wars, these PNAC wars, these corporate wars. As we look forward 20, 30 years, what will be the death toll from the wars we're fighting today?
I don't know what the death toll is.
Just take a stab at it.
Oh, geez, then thousands upon thousands. What I'm looking at is I have to understand that right now we're way, way over a quarter of a million just for the Gulf Wars on the U.S. military personnel that are permanently disabled. And that's all in part and parcel, absolutely, with uranium munitions, especially the 205,000 plus from Gulf War II. And we're seeing the families. We see the children. I mean, one crazy thing, and the Department of Defense says this over and over again, that none of the children born to the friendly fire casualty of Gulf War I were born with birth defects. They lie. Because they absolutely are, and they're continuing to be born today. They're continually dying. And we have the problem all over the place. You can't take thousands and thousands of tons of solid radioactive materials, disperse it in somebody else's backyard, refuse to provide the medical care to everybody who's exposed, even though it's absolutely mandated by our own laws.
Hey, look, even if you don't care if we're dispersing it in somebody else's backyard, we just talked about a minute ago, Dr. Rocky, I mean, we're dispersing it in our own backyard as well. And this is something that we're going to be dealing with, as you say, for generations upon generations upon generations. This is going to add up and cost a lot of money, and we're going to hear some excuse into the future that, well, we had to do it. You know, we didn't have any other choice. And I don't believe that. I mean, we are the most sophisticated fighting force on the face of the earth, the Leviathan, as it's been called within the Pentagon's own white papers. And here we have to use these, let's just call them what they are, immoral fighting. And it's like napalm or the pesticides we dropped in Vietnam. But it's 1,000 times worse. Dr. Rocky, give out any contact or any information people can go to if they suspect they have DU.
Well, I think just go to TrapRock. The Uranium Medical Research Center does it. We have to understand the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs is required.
.com.
That's fed, FAN.com.
Attention, attention, attention. American forces are here to help. Remain calm. We will not tolerate civil disobedience.
Yeah.
Mighty Hives. You can just Google Hives if you like that. Hives are friends of the show. It's true. We have, if I could bring on all of the very talented and well-known musicians that listen to this show, you'd blow your mind. You know, but that's what we do here. And look, we're really not your standard model for a patriot fighter or the resistance, so to speak. I mean, we're really very freeform here. And we did this because we know a lot of you are, too. And we want to give you at least some avenue where you'll feel like, you know, we're all together, you're one of us. And we try to do that on the program. And that means, of course, we are open to character assassination. But bring it on! Bring it on. Bring it on. Okay. John Connor is with us. John Connor from the Resistance Manifesto has made several huge splashes on YouTube. In fact, many people could make a case that people like John Connor made YouTube really what it is today. And he is very prolific in getting his videos out and getting his work out to the public. And it's a great example for people to follow. He absolutely has no fear. In fact, the recent video of John Connor is him in Beverly Hills trying to spread 9/11 truth to the people of Beverly Hills with his bullhorn. And he gets a little bit distracted and he runs into what probably looks like a former veteran of wars in a wheelchair, spare changing up in Beverly Hills. And John Connor immediately sets aside his priorities and starts spare changing for the guy who I'm told probably brought in about 80, 100 bucks that day. Yeah, talk about zombies, and John knows very well about zombies, writes about them. His book, The Resistance Manifesto, you can find that at theresistancemanifesto.com. He made Danny Bonaducci famous for the first time, and he is starting his show this Sunday at 10 o'clock Central Time on this very network, the Genesis Communications Radio Network. John Connor, good to have you on the show, buddy.
Jack, I'm taking the gloves off in 2007. One of my New Year's resolutions is to stop being so nice to people, and I'm really going to take the gloves off and just go full speed ahead. Fox News is attacking me. The New York Daily News says I run an extremist website, and I think I've been very cordial and respectful to people like Bonaducci and others.
Yeah.
And it's time to start going full speed ahead. The New World Order is going full speed ahead.
Well, we really have nothing to lose at this point, John.
We really don't, and we might as well have fun fighting them. And even if we're going to take a fall, we're going to go down with a fight. The zombies in Beverly Hills just blew my mind. The video that you were talking about is available on YouTube. And my cameraman and I were up there spreading some 9/11 truth, interviewing the elite Beverly Hills members and citizens to see what they thought of 9/11. When we got a little sidetracked, we saw this poor individual with a Starbucks cup begging for money, people just ignoring him. So that is part of the resistance and fighting the New World Order. It's more than fighting the police state, exposing 9/11. A large part of fighting the New World Order is just helping a man when he's down, helping your fellow man.
Hey, this is what Luke Radowski does in New York with the 9/11 Truth Movement. They spend a lot of their time in soup kitchens and out, you know, being examples in their community. And we've talked about this for years. But, hey, welcome to the club, John. Not that it's anything new for you, but, I mean, this is what it is to be an info warrior, and to be an effective info warrior is to take on these massive attacks.
And, yeah, like you said, there's many different avenues. Not everybody's going to get out there and bullhorn their own community or go and protest or culture jam a prominent individual speech. But every little bit
culture
helps.
Jam? I like that one. Let's
yeah,
put that into quotations.
Things.
I like to call it an info drive-by, and you're really at the top of the food chain in the info drive-bys, John.
We are going to turn up the heat here, Jack, and culture jams, info drive-bys are going to be coming full effect this year in 2007. And now that I have a platform on GCN, we're going to see what we can do, get some guests to come on under the disguise that they're going to promote their work. And we're just going to toss in some questions.
John, you've hosted my show a couple of times in my absence, and never a dull moment. You just don't know what this guy's going to do next. And we're honored to have you on this network, John. I'm so glad you came to join us here. We need your help. This network is really evolving here, and I think you're a great addition to the team.
Thanks, brother. And I couldn't have done it without you. And I give you props and praise for letting me host your show and trusting me with that, giving me the opportunity.
That wasn't easy, John. I had no idea what you were going to do. I had to just kind of bite down and go, okay, man, let him run. Let that kid go. And you did a great job, John. Honestly, you did us proud.
Thank you. And I was on my best behavior, and I don't know what I'm going to do on my show. We're going to talk about...
No more good behavior by John Connor. That's his resolution this year.
My favorite topics, politics and religion, on GCN Sunday night, starting this Sunday, 10 o'clock p.m. Central, 10 to 11. And, yeah, I don't even know exactly what I'm going to do. Got some interesting guests booked up. We're going to cover a little news. We're going to cover the history and the effects of the New World Order and their philosophy. And I'm also going to be announcing a YouTube contest to encourage others to use the glorious YouTube for the resistance and for the info warriors to spread the truth.
Let's take it over. Let's take it over, and if we can't take it over, let's create our own YouTube that isn't owned by Google.
I have had several videos pulled by Google. YouTube is a little less strict on the censoring. So we may have to have our own file-sharing network once Internet 2 moves in and once the propaganda jacks up a little bit more, because we are winning. We've become the media. Networks like GCN, shows like yours, I've been drawing so many people over. We can credit people like you for having a third of the Americans, more than a third of Americans, realizing what's happening in this country.
Well, John, I do my little part. You know, it's a very small part, but I try to do something, and I think that's important. But, no, look, here's the thing about YouTube is that you're putting out original content, and they're going to focus first on copyrighted material. We're all going to face this year, and next year this is going to be a major event in the info war. But, John Connor, you generate original content, and that's really the last thing they can mess with.
There's nothing that they can do unless they say that I'm disrupting or causing hate speech. And I like I said, I've been on my best behavior. I do get insulted from people when I call people zombies. People email me, "You're so rude. How can you insult these people?" Well, I just call a spade. And I don't think that by calling somebody what they are is going to push them any further away from the truth. If anything, they'll think, "What on earth is this guy insulting me for?" And maybe they'll do a little bit of research on what it is that we're telling them.
John, you're an inspiration, because here's the thing. A lot of people want to do what you do and you chronicle with your video series, and your cameraman, by the way, is one of my best friends in the movement as well, and just an amazing person in his own right. And I know that production is a great help to you. But here's the thing. People, you know, they think that something will happen to them if they get out and do the things you've done, which is bullhorn campuses and bullhorn city streets and go up right into the belly of the beast itself, Beverly Hills, and bullhorn them about 9/11. They think they're going to get in trouble and get arrested and sent to a camp, but you're getting away with it, and I think that should be an inspiration for everybody. We'll come right back. One more segment with our good friend John Connor. We're starting a new show right on this network this Sunday at 10 o'clock.
.com today.
And who killed the president?
Oh, man, why don't you stop it? This is too big for you. You know that? This is... Who did the president? Who killed him? It's a mystery. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma. The shooters don't even know. Don't you get it?
Evidently supreme. Status boost, intermission, imposition. New world order on the border.
John Connor with us. The Resistance Manifesto.com. You can get the book, The Resistance Manifesto, by going there, and you can follow along with John Connor's adventures. John, great to have you on the show. Great to have you on this network. I want to send a message out to all of our affiliates out there in radio land. Pick up this show. What is the official title of the show, John?
The official title is Resistance Radio with yours truly. You mentioned something earlier about fear.
Well, hold on a second. Resistance Radio by yours truly.
Resistance Radio with John Connor. John Connor.
Yeah, and I want to talk to all my affiliates around the country that are listening to this broadcast right now, the program directors, the general managers. Call Genesis now. You have the number. And find a way to pick up this show. It's a Sunday night show at 10 o'clock. And I'm talking to Radio Free Austin. I'm talking to everybody out that picks up our program. I want you to pick up John Connor's show as well and help us syndicate this show around the country. He has a great, unique perspective. I think he's a good example for us all to follow, and I really hope you pick up the program. If you have any questions, you can write me at jackblood@hotmail.com, and I'll send it to the appropriate person. Let's get this show out to as many people as possible right away. John, a tease for your Sunday show. What are you doing?
Well, thank you, Jack. I just wanted to add one thing. There are certain small racist groups which will use the term resistance, and I just want to make it clear that we are not affiliated whatsoever. The resistance that we're involved in is open to all races, all creeds, all age groups, and we treat our fellow man the way that we want to be treated. What we're going to do for the first show, I'm going to be announcing my first YouTube contest. You'll have to tune in for the details on that. We will also weekly have a MySpace educational outreach program, which apparently worked very well with Danny Bonaducci. Now we have him inquiring to MySpace members about Skull and Bones. And our MySpace outreach to him caused him to go on Fox News and flap his mouth about us. So each week we're going to be targeting, I don't know if that's a, that's not a terrorist term, but I'm sure under the Patriot Act now we're going to be
You better put a disclaimer on that. We're targeting these people for the information war.
Exactly. We're going to be selecting a weekly MySpace page of people from Arnold Schwarzenegger to John Edwards, where we will educate them and their MySpace visitors in the comment section with links to very prominent films, questions, photos, and audio.
So basically what you're talking about is sicking all of the MySpace people on any given MySpace website for a given amount of time.
That's what we're going to do. We're also going to try to focus everybody for a radio jam of the week where we'll target a specific mainstream media Mockingbird show on a specific day, and we're going to try to flood the board with calls and get out a specific topic for that week and make our voices heard.
John, how did you do it? How did you get to this place where you came to a place where you had absolutely no fear, you were going to take on the establishment no matter what the cost? I mean, what was it for you? What was the switch that went off for you that you said, I got nothing left to lose, I'm going to go out and hit the streets?
I have always been a quote-unquote troublemaker, if you will, which caused me an early retirement from high school, if you will. And I just am doing what I think is right. I have a loud mouth, I have a lot of energy, and what better cause than to fight for our own country, to keep our freedoms, to expose the criminals, to stop the lies. And I just, I guess I have a mild case of obsessive compulsive disorder, and luckily instead of cleaning my bathroom all day long, I'm obsessed with exposing the New World Order.
Yeah, and if you were, you know, of course, a child here in the public school system here today in the 21st century, they'd be drugging you to next Sunday twice on Sunday in order to get you to comply and to, I guess, talk you down off the ledge, so to speak. But look, I mean, this is what needs to be done, and I like your resolution, and I'm going to attach myself to it. I'm going to co-sign it. I'm going to endorse it. I'm taking the gloves off this year, too, John, and thank you for being my inspiration.
Hey, bro, right back at you, brother. You mentioned something about fear. There's a great acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. And there was a time when I was frightened. I thought somebody's going to call the police. Somebody's going to say that this lunatic is talking craziness and I'm going to get a visit. And that's exactly what they want you to think. They enslave us through fear and through your own mind. And if we can just get over that and get other people to get over that, what are they going to do? They can't take us all to FEMA camps. They're not going to lock up 30% of Americans, and we just keep on spreading the word.
Or 80% of Americans, if the case may be, depending on how far they go, John, because we're really one incident away from culling a huge demographic here in America to join us in this fight to save this country, to preserve freedom for our children and our grandchildren. And I, for one, and I know you for another, and most of our listeners are going to be able to say, look, to our grandchildren, look, little Johnny, here's what I did. I did everything I could. I did what I could to preserve what little freedoms we could have. Who knows what's going to happen in the future. And we want you to go out and do the same thing and carry the torch. Excuse the expression, John, but I mean, this is really where we're at. We need people like you. We need examples like you out there. I have been threatened. I mean, we published a lot of exclusive breaking stories, John, and we have had international law firms sicked on us, multi-billion dollar law firms. We've had, I don't want to go into, you know, some of the things that we've had done to us that are very scary, and all we did was stand up to these people, and they never really came through with the threat. So this is what they do. They want you to think that you could get in trouble. Well, you don't. And when they even threaten that you might get in trouble, you probably won't. And if you do, John Connor and I got your back.
That's right. And as you and Alex Jones and others say, you know, don't get behind us, get besides us. And I have to say, it's people like you and Alex who have blazed the trail. And so all I'm trying to do is just make that trail wider and encourage other people to come and get besides me. And let's just plow the whole field and let's encourage everybody to open this whole thing up to the masses. And it's networks like this, it's hosts like you who are going to be the mainstream media, and we'll have the mainstream media mockingbirds take a back seat to networks like GCN.
No, we already see this happening, and we know that, you know, ABC News, Fox, all the different, and I know that probably drives people crazy. No, only Fox is guilty of this. No, folks, CBS, NBC, ABC, all of these networks, these entertainment devices, which are owned right up front by the military-industrial complex, they all do the same thing. They do it to different degrees, and they put you in the middle of this, and there's one way to step out. You just simply make the decision. You step out of it. You start taking action, and it is so liberating. It is so energizing. It is so fun that you'll be addicted to it, and as you say, you put your ADD to good use.
We're going to be announcing a couple of info jams, culture jams in the future. We're going to attempt to get a group of people to a major talk show such as The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. This is going to take people that have no fear, and one by one, during the middle of the show, we are going to announce 9/11 was an inside job.
John, this is what it's all about. Now here's the thing, listeners. You've got to set aside your differences. You have to do this. You have to quit henpecking each other and go out and join a uniform cause. And you don't have to sign anything. You don't have to, give up your firstborn. All you have to do is just have the energy to go show up to an event, to go sign on to an internet attack, if that's what it is, a drive-by, an information drive-by, such as we're talking about today. So, look, I mean, the bottom line is you've got to set aside some of your little henpecking, your primordial differences, and jump on board because there is strength in numbers. John, I know you don't profess yourself to be a leader. I know that you're not out to gain notoriety or to make a bunch of money. You're doing this because you feel it's the right thing to do, and you're going to do a great show. I know you're going to do a great show. I'm so glad to have you up at GCN. It's 10 o'clock Central Time. I usually tell people how to do things in Eastern Time. That's because I lived in the East Coast most of my life now. 11 o'clock p.m. Sunday night Eastern Time. Tell everybody about this. If you're an affiliate of this program, look into picking up the Resistance Manifesto show, John Connor. And I know you're going to love it. You're going to get a lot more listeners and huge ratings, and you're going to improve the financial status of your radio station because you're going to have more listeners than ever before. John, I look forward to listening to your show like everybody else this Sunday at 10 o'clock Central Time.
Power to the resistance, brother. Keep it up.
Power to the people. Power to the resistance.
62461. Do it today.
And now, back to Deadline Live with your narrator, Jack Blood.
Guns will be taken, and no one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Bow down before the one you serve. You're going to get what you deserve. Bow down before the one you serve. You're going to get what you deserve.
Let me just put this announcement out for the people of Austin, Texas. I don't think we need to be your example here. Obviously, you know, we have our own troubles. And, you know, the bigger your movement gets in your town, the more division you're going to see, the more COINTELPRO you're going to see, the more Mockingbird stuff you're going to see, and the more you're going to have an understanding of what we really are dealing with intimately within our community. So, you know, a lot of people look at Austin, Texas, and they go, well, we want to be like Austin. Well, you know, be careful what you wish for. But ultimately, there are so many good people working here in Austin, Texas, and here in Texas that they would be too numerous to mention, not to even go into the people in Oklahoma, in Montana, in Illinois, in Florida, in New York, where we have our affiliates. I am constantly amazed and inspired by what our listeners do and what our affiliates project out there. That being said, I need to make an announcement. I would really like you folks to do this. Now, I have a... We're going to be doing an interview with David Lynch here next week, and I believe we're going to have to pre-tape it on Saturday. So I don't know if I'm going to make it to this, but there is a big protest in Austin, Texas, a 9/11 protest at the state capitol. A lot of people have been asking me about this. I have all the information. It's this Saturday, January 13th, at the state capitol in Austin. It starts at 1 o'clock. So if you live anywhere here in the vicinity of Austin, Texas, we need to, and I really think that we are, I think we're somewhat deficient in, and you'd be surprised to hear that, knowing that I live here and Alex lives here and others, but, you know, I don't think we've done as good of a job as we can getting 9/11 information out to people, but I'll always think that. It's not because I'm a pessimist, I just always think we can do better. I'm a classic Virgo, and, that will lose us some listeners. So there's a big protest Saturday at 1 o'clock at the state capitol in Austin, Texas. They're holding a peaceful yet meaningful protest on 9/11. They will be there starting at 1 o'clock, and I am reading here copy, and I'm going to do the best I can. We will stay until everyone gets tired or goes home. You may not come... You may come and go as you choose. They'll be located in front of the front gates. Everybody knows where that is here, the state capitol. You can see it from any vantage point downtown. They'll be wearing black Investigate 9/11 t-shirts. So these are the same t-shirts we wore at Ground Zero for the 5-year anniversary in New York City. If you have one of those, wear it, make signs, show up, bring DVDs, pass them out. And if you have time, go ahead and press release the mainstream media and tell them that there is a major 9/11 protest here in Austin, Texas, this Saturday at 1 o'clock at the state capitol. And I hope you do that. There's so much news we didn't cover on today's program, and this is kind of the scourge of doing a 2-hour radio show with commercials. No, we're not begging you to give us, $10,000-$20,000 checks. We're just telling you... You know, hey, look, here's the information. If you want it, take it. But in 2 hours, we always run out of time. We just don't have enough time to do what we want to do. And all we try to do is give you the tip of the iceberg. So we're going to, in some way, shape, or form, recap what we're doing in Iraq now, according to the speech by President Bush, who I heard a caller call in earlier to this network and say he looked like he was on drugs. He looked like he was literally working on remote control, not even a good remote control, like a cheap remote control with a wire is sticking up into his buttocks, okay? We have a lot to say on this. Number one, we know that 90,000 troops, according to Bob Gates, have already been utilized. They're already trying to find these people to go to Iraq. Good luck with that. You'll be probably having better luck paying people $1,000 a day being contractors in Iraq. But this is the goal. We've already started the offensive. We've already started loading up more troops, hundreds of troops now arriving, being backdrafted into Iraq, knowing exactly what they're going into, but for one reason or the other, unable to say no, like several, and not many, but several people have across this country and across the world, saying, no, I will not be backdrafted. No, I'm not going to serve my 8th straight tour of duty in Iraq in order to achieve your political agenda. No, I'm not going to do it. So we're going to try to talk about this tomorrow. And just so much news to report. I mean, I'm telling you, we literally have about 30 news stories we try to bring up onto the show every day, and we do our best to try to get to all of them, but it's nearly impossible. All we're doing is giving you the tip of the iceberg to inspire you enough to jump on board with us and to show you that nothing bad has happened to us. We just had John Connor on the air. I think he's a perfect example of this, as is Alex Jones and others. I'm a terrible example. I never do anything. I never leave my house. I never help anyone, and that's me. I come with guilt. I come with baggage. Okay, I don't do anything ever, and most people know that. Okay, I'm being completely sarcastic. But the fact of the matter is, all we're trying to do is to inspire one person today, just one person listening to this audience, to go, I've had enough. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to risk the livelihood of my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I'm going to jump into this with both feet. I'm going to do what I love doing the most. I'm going to draw my own personal line in the sand, whether it's drafting of troops, whether it's the Real ID Act, whether it's the constant NSA monitoring of all of our citizens, whether it's the constant redaction and hypocrisy coming out of the Pentagon and the White House. I'm going to take this on with every fiber of my being. And if we can find one person today to do that, then everything we've done in this last 2 hours, 1 hour and 54 minutes is worth it. We have Steve St. Clair. Yell out your windows right now. Go ahead, play that again. That's right. And that's what people are waiting for. They are followers. They're Americans. They're sheep. And they're waiting for you to lead by an example. I'll let you rest with that. Steve St. Clair is with us from Enterfood.com. Steve, we have a couple of minutes left in this show. It's Darren Craddock from Enterfood.com. A couple minutes left in the show, Darren. I want to personally thank you for making this show possible. I'm pretty sure we would have went off the air about a year ago without the support of your great company.
Well, Jack, we're real happy to be supporting your show and everything you're doing, because what you're doing is really essential. Everyone needs to hear this information. They need to change their lives and they need to get on the bandwagon and start making differences. And, you know, at Health Botanicals, our goal is to help people make differences in their health. And we're here providing products that basically will change your life.
It's the same thing, Darren. It's the same thing. What we do on our program and what you do with your company, it's the same thing. If you're sick and you fell down on the couch the second you walked in the door from work, you can't even, you know, take out your garbage, you're not going to be able to fight the New World Order, and you're not going to survive the alleged or phony pandemic they're going to send your way. I'm telling you, this is a life or death thing. If you don't get on Enterfood right now, and I heard Alex today talking about his allergies, and I want to go take Alex a big jar of Enterfood and say, get on this right now, Darren, because you cannot fight the New World Order. You cannot get up and stand up for yourself, your family, your community, if you're an unhealthy rag of gasoline.
That's right, Jack. And, you know, I was just thinking today that actually by not taking Enterfood and by following the regular kind of route that most people take, you're actually participating in sustaining the system the way it is right now.
Darren, you've never said this on the program before. But you know, I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. You're complicit in your own destruction if you don't get on Enterfood right now. And I'm saying this because we have a 100% approval rating for this product. I'm on it. Everybody's on it. And hey, look, man, we are getting a lot more done, and we feel a lot better with the help of Enterfood and all their great products. I'm going to give out their number now, and it's 1-866-762-9238. If you mention Deadline Live and Jack Blood, they'll make it easy for you. If you're participating in our contest, you'll win a whole free box load of Enterfood products. You want to find out about the LibertySticker.com contest right now. 866-762-9238. Enterfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, like energy. Enterfood.com. Mention you heard it on Jack Blood. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Darren. If you're not protecting yourself and your family, if you're not doing something to save yourself and to improve your immune system and to have more energy so you can fight the New World Order, then you're just buying into the entire MTV program.
Absolutely, Jack.
My man, you guys are doing a great job over there. We'll have you back again and again and again. I mean, this show is completely fueled by Enterfood. I am currently carrying a green mustache. We'll be back tomorrow. Our friend Sal Costello will be with us from Texans. No, it's the TexasTollParty.com. There's a big meeting coming up next week, a referendum on the toll roads. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. I hope to see you all there on our Friday program. Until then, I'm Jack Blood saying be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid.